You are listening to a Banzai Retro Club podcast. Language and topics may not always be appropriate for younger listeners. Press 1 for a groovy topic from the 1970s. Press 2 for an awesome topic from the 1980s. Or press 3 for a slamming topic from the 1990s. Please choose now. Too late. We have made your selection for you. Let's start the show.
Okay, we have made it to our final leg of my European trip. It's actually been a few weeks since I decided that I was going to record about that trip. So now I'm like, I feel a sense of obligation to record this about Amsterdam, but at the same time, it's just because I wanted to wrap up that little story. And it's not like it's so significant that it's going to be earth-shattering, you know, as far as the reason why it's here at the end. But it just feels that, you know, because I started that journey, I wanted to wrap it up for you and let you know how the European trip ended. So what had happened was the night that we had, or the day that we finished up our all-day meeting with my team, we had decided that the group of us would go to Amsterdam, have dinner, and we're going to take a canal tour, and then that was going to be it. Then we'd go back to the hotel and get some sleep before flying back home the following day. So my team members, my boss, and my boss's boss, we all go to a very nice dinner in Amsterdam. We enjoy that. I remember having steak, and one of the choices of the sides, you know, was French fries, but they call them chips. And the funny thing is that it comes automatically with mayo. And then when somebody asks for ketchup to go with their chips, or fries, if you will, then, you know, you're pretty much labeled, oh, you're an American. I always thought that was kind of a funny thing that, you know, I guess we're the only people that really put ketchup on their French fries. And then I did try mayo, and it's not horrible. It's just not my go-to condiment. That was kind of different, but in a way cool. Actually, one of the guys that works for me, he pretty much dips everything in mayo. So that was quite interesting to watch him eat. So we have our nice dinner. And then we walk over to the canal tour, which was called Lovers Canal Tour on Amsterdam. But it's spelt Lovers, L-O-V-E-R-S. Now, I'm one of those pinheads that tags himself when he's on Facebook, whenever I'm doing something that's significant. So I tagged myself in Amsterdam and going on the Lovers or Lovers Canal trip. Of course, my wife automatically responded going, well, who are you going on this canal trip with? You know, focusing on the word lovers. So that was kind of humorous. She put a smiley face, so I knew she was playing around with me. We did that. We got to see a lot of the Amsterdam cityscape. You get earbuds where you get to listen in on the radio as they kind of narrate the different architectural sites that you're seeing as you're passing by. So that was really cool. The downfall was it was kind of rainy and it was dark out. So I think something like that would better be suited for a day trip, where you get a bit of sunshine and you can see a bit more. I would recommend doing it, but like I said, during the day. So we get done with that. Everybody's pretty tired and they're going to go back to the hotel. So me and my boss, we were like, well, you know, we want to walk around a bit. And he actually wanted to do some shopping. And while I'd never been in Amsterdam, and I'm not one to pass up the opportunity to just explore, so since he was already going to walk around, I stuck with him, and we just kind of walked throughout the streets. Now, at this time, it's pretty late at night, so all the, like, main shops are closed, so he really didn't get a chance to shop for souvenirs, but, you know, we still walked around a bit. There's a lot of people that are around, so it's never once did we feel unsafe. And as we're walking around, we eventually do stumble across the red light district. And all I can say is, you know, that is now a check mark on the bucket list of my life. I've been there, seen that. I didn't do that, but I've been there, seen that. Now, in the red light district, you have all of the ladies that are selling themselves in the windows, hence the name. So, saw plenty of them, a lot of them trying to entice us to the window to let's make a deal, if you will. So, did not partake. The guy that I was with, obviously, he wasn't interested in partaking as well, which I'm kind of glad, because what would I do while he's doing that? But, you know, in the same area, you had a bunch of different things that were themed to the profession of prostitution. So there was actually a prostitute museum, and there was, you know, peep shows, you know, striptease places. Amongst all those, of course, you had, you know, the quote-unquote coffee shops, and coffee shops are the places where you can buy the marijuana. The marijuana. Boy, that sounded wrong. Weed. So, once again, the guy I was with wasn't really into that kind of thing. I wasn't going to force the issue and say, hey, I really want to try some. So we just walked around and looked. We didn't even go into any of the shops. We just, you know, did a, you know, a walk by. What was really interesting was one of the shops that was actually closed was there was a shop that had like a whole bunch of different edibles, including like brownies. And in the window, there were like, I shit you not, like three mice that were climbing up and down amongst the brownies, kind of burrowing their way into those food items. So I don't think that there's much of a FDA kind of certification for those coffee shops. And if there are, they've got a mouse problem that they need to deal with. The other thing that I thought was interesting looking at the signs that were in some of the shops was, you know, you get your different grades of potency. So the way that I would attribute it, you know, if you're into going to a coffee shop, like a Starbucks, a legitimate coffee shop, you have the blonde light roast all the way up to the dark roast. And I guess weed has grades the same way, where you've got your, you know, kind of a mild buzz to a, you know, blow your fucking mind out kind of buzz. So, It was interesting to see, you know, the variations between, and it'd be curious to go back and try to have time to experiment, if you will. But I would be afraid of the stuff that was like the really potent stuff, because I have no idea what that would do to me. And I don't want to be, you know, lost in a foreign country and, you know, not having my wits about me in order to get back to the hotel. That'd be a little dangerous. So saw all that, saw the coffee shops. We walked behind a few people that were definitely enjoying, you know, smoking. And I would say I got a contact high, you know, based on what they were just, you know, just excelling. So that was about the closest I've got to any kind of like debauchery. So, like I said, the Amsterdam trip was cool in itself. The only thing that I really got was because all the shops were closed, we didn't really have a chance to, you know, have souvenirs or buy souvenirs until at the airport before we left. So I bought a few things for the house, and I got like this little rubber ducky thing that has like different symbols for Amsterdam that I have at my desk at work. So that kind of gives me my, you know, my little keepsake for the trip. And I'll be able to just kind of remember, you know, my first trip to Europe, you know, because I've got that little rubber ducky. So that's it. That's the Amsterdam trip in a very quick nutshell. And that wraps up the European business trip. So like I said, it wasn't anything that there was a lot of uber excitement there. But I think that the story itself is a little more exciting than me talking about how I cleaned my sidewalk so that the edging is straight. If you didn't hear that, you know, that was on one of the previous episodes. I don't even remember which one. So if you're interested in going back and listening to that kind of stuff, then stay tuned because it'll continue because life is going back to normal, right? So I really don't know if I have a lot to talk about, you know, that's as exciting as a European business trip. But, you know, if I've got something that's on my brain, and I will, share that with you. So now that we've got all that discussed and thrown out there in front of you, we're going to continue with our 1980s Essentials Movie Podcast episodes. So we're going to insert the bumper here.
This is 80-something podcast.
Banzai! 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 Banzai!
Hey, where's the meat? I don't think there's anybody back there.
You or any of your family ever seen a spook, specter, or ghost?
If the answer is yes, then don't wait another minute. Pick up your phone and call the professionals. Go Ghostbusters! Our courteous and efficient staff is on call 24 hours a day to serve all your supernatural elimination needs.
We're ready to believe you!
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
G.I. Joe!
Be it to each other. And party on, dudes!
Hey, Retro Clubbers, I am Dave, and you're listening to Banzai Retro Club, and thank you for tuning in. This is another of our 1980s Essential Movie Podcast episodes. What we've done is we found a list on RottenTomatoes.com, and they list their 140 Essential 1980s movies. This is picks from their editorial staff. I think it's important to bring that up because some of these I don't understand why they're on the list, and I think there are a few that would be on my list that's not on their list. So it's very important for you to realize that this isn't my list specifically, but the list from Rotten Tomatoes, I would guess editorial staff or their writer staff or their contribution staff. So I just want to put that little disclaimer for you. So where we're at is we're all the way up to number 95 on the list. We're counting down from 140 to number one, so we're at 95. And I was just thinking about this. I was just thinking that if I'm posting one of these a week, and there's 52 weeks in a year, right? There's 52 weeks in a year. I'm going to be doing this Essential Movie episode podcasts for well over a year now to finish. So it's going to take a little while to get through this list. If I want to go faster, maybe I'll have to record more and post more than once a week. I don't know if I'll ever get, so ahead of the game that I want to do that. Because I like the idea of having content kind of ready, but not necessarily, like 20 or 30 episodes in. But that would be kind of cool to have that problem. And I would definitely, if I got to the point where I have over like 5-6 episodes recorded, I would probably start really posting them out like gangbusters just to get a little further along in the list. Because I think the list is going to get really exciting as we get, as we break the top 50. But this episode, Number 95 is a very good movie, so I'm a big fan of it. Stripes, 1981. As I do when I mention the movie, I'll insert the trailer.
Are you stuck in a dead-end job?
We're going to be killed!
Oh, no.
Just keep your hands on the wheel and slow down!
Not killed!
Stop it!
Personal problems got you down.
You can't go! All the plants are gonna die!
Well, the U.S. Army can turn your life around.
Before I knew it, she was walking next to me, singing, do I did it, did it.
Join a whole new breed of professionals. Learn what it's like to feel like a man. Get your body into incredible shape.
Muscles, I love those muscles.
Dillman!
Master important career skills.
What are you going to do with that?
This. And this. Who's your friend? Who's your buddy? I am, aren't I?
And represent your country in foreign lands.
Gentlemen, we are in Germany!
So if you're a man who likes to take charge of your own life...
So am I to understand that you men completed your training on your own?
That's the fact, Jack!
That's the fact, Jack!
And this looks like your kind of challenge.
Lean killer! You're a lean, mean, violent machine! I'll do it!
Join Bill Murray in Stripes. This could be the best experience of your life.
What the? A surprise party! I'll kill you! Whose idea was this?
Boom, shakalaka, boom, shakalaka, boom, shakalaka, boom!
Then I'll say, hey Google, tell us about the movie Stripes.
Stripes is a 1981 movie directed by Ivan Reitman, starring Bill Murray, Harold Ramis, and PJ Souls.
Hey Google, give us a synopsis of Stripes the movie.
Sorry, I can't process donations to that organization right now. Do you want to donate to another organization?
No.
Okay, maybe another time.
Hey Google. Please give us the synopsis of the movie Stripes starring Bill Murray.
Sorry, I'm not sure how to help with that yet.
All right, I give up. I know enough about the movie. We don't need the synopsis from Google. But maybe it was fun to hear me try, you know, asking the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. So there we go. We found the limitations of Google. Hey, Google, you suck.
Well, I am still learning. What should we fix?
Just try understanding me better.
Thank you for your help.
All right, I don't know if that's going to do anything. Anyway, she's nice enough. I appreciate her contributions, but in this case, I don't understand why would I ask she wouldn't understand. So Stripes. Let's start off talking about Bill Murray. Obviously the lead in this movie, along with Harold Ramis. But Bill Murray was a lot of fun. I love a Bill Murray movie that is a comedy and B has a monologue. Some of my favorite monologues of his are Scrooged, Meatballs. In this one, he did the monologue where he was telling everybody about how they were all stupid enough to join the United States Army, and he's trying to get them all to fall in line with him, as far as, like, training. So I think, you know, by far, he was definitely a great addition to this movie, and I couldn't imagine Stripes being, you know, including anyone else. But, you know, go back. We start off with him being down and out of luck. He's out of shape. He's lost his job. He's lost his girlfriend. So he's really kind of directionless. and him and his buddy Harold Ramis, who happens to be like a teacher, they both decide that they're going to join the United States Army. And this is, you know, to help, you know, all of those problems, you know, have a, you know, get direction in life. Yeah, basically just, you know, have something to do. So then you now have this guy who's kind of mouthy and smart alecky in an organization that, of course, is not known for that type of person. So, yeah, this is part where things get really astray for him, and he has to learn how to conform, you know, to that organization. Sergeant Holka is a lot of fun as the drill sergeant. Another great speech by Bill Murray is when they're all sitting around getting to know each other, and he's talking about how, you know, they're all talking about why they joined the Army. And so he goes on about, you know, hey, you know, well, I hardly ever wear underwear, but when I do, it's something special. And then he goes on talking about, you know, that one guy, Cowboy, he's like, well, that one time that you made it with that cow, and, you know, but me and you partying together, forget about it. You know, it was just a lot of fun. It was just a big, weird turn of a monologue. And then he volunteers himself as a a backup leader if Sergeant Holka isn't available, because, you know, Sergeant Holka is their new big toe. So very funny stuff. Very, very funny stuff.
Zitsky.
I've always been kind of a pacifist. When I was a kid, my father told me never hit anyone in anger unless you're absolutely sure you can get away with it. I don't know what kind of soldier I'm going to make, but I want you guys to know that if we ever get into real heavy combat, I'll be right behind you guys every step of the way.
Okay, Mr. Push-ups, let's hear your story.
Chicks dig me because I rarely wear underwear, and when I do, it's usually something unusual. But now I know why I have always lost women to guys like you. I mean,
it's not just the uniform. It's the stories that you tell. So much fun and imagination. Lee Harvey, you are a madman. When you stole that cow and your friend tried to make it with the cow, I want to party with you, cowboy. The two of us together? Forget it. I'm going to go out on a limb here. I'm going to volunteer my leadership to this platoon. An army without leaders is like a foot without a big toe. And Sergeant Holka isn't always going to be there to be that big toe for us. I think that we owe a big round of applause to our newest, bestest buddy and big toe, Sergeant Holka.
Well, okay, hotshot. We're gonna see what kind of soldier you are. Reveille's 0500. We're gonna fall out with locker boxes, and we're gonna have our locker boxes.
Harold Ramis does a great job as almost trying to play as close as you can to a straight man next to Bill Murray, but still having a lot of comedic elements as well. I think in a lot of ways he's very similar in some ways to Egon from Ghostbusters. So I think he does that really, that character really well, but I'm sure that, you know, duties with directing and writing have, you put your star performers in front and let them do their thing, and yeah, you're there as a supporting cast, and I bet you he's completely fine with, you know, that contribution. Unfortunately, we did lose Harold Ramis, and that is a big loss for us. Let's see what else happened. John Candy, very funny in this movie, And, you know, he, I love when he is in the mud pit, with the girls, even the part where he's talking about why he joined the army, and he's like, well, you know, you may not have noticed, but I have a little bit of weight problem. And everybody's like, no, no. God, it's very funny. Very funny comedic actor. John Candy, once again, we lost him like we did Harold Ramis. Another big loss. Let's see, what else? What other funny moments? Going forward to the monologue where Bill Murray has told, you know, his company, you know, hey, follow me, do what I do, and we'll get through, you know, the end of basic training. Everybody remembers Sergeant Hulka had gotten blown up, and so they weren't ready for their final, for the graduation ceremony. So they all had to, like, try to get ready for that in order to complete boot camp. Otherwise, they got to do it all over again. By the way, Judge Reinhold was in there, too, briefly. So that was a lot of fun. That was a lot of fun with them getting themselves ready and to be at least coordinated amongst themselves, even though it was way off base than what you would normally expect from a graduating class from Army boot camp.
We're all very different people. We're not Watusi. We're not Spartans. We're Americans with a capital A, huh? You know what that means? Do you? That means that our forefathers were kicked out of every decent country in the world. We are the wretched refuse. We're the underdog. We're mutts. Here's proof. His nose is cold. But there's no animal that's more faithful, that's more loyal, more lovable than the mutt. Who saw Old Yeller? Who cried when Old Yeller got shot at the end? Nobody cried when Old Yeller got shot, I'm sure. I cried my eyes out. So we're all dog faces. We're all very, very different. But there is one thing that we all have in common. We were all stupid enough to enlist in the Army. We're mutants. There's something wrong with us. Something very, very wrong with us. Something seriously wrong with us. We're soldiers. But we're American soldiers. We've been kicking ass for 200 years. We're 10 and 1. Now, we don't have to worry about whether or not we've practiced. We don't have to worry about whether Captain Stillman wants to have us hung. All we have to do is to be the great American fighting soldier that is inside each one of us. Now do what I do and say what I say and make me proud. Fall in?
Yeah! But, because they were self-motivated, they get themselves to go, you know, to a station together on a, you know, top secret mission, and they end up guarding this RV thing. Further, you know, hijinks ensue as they have to protect this top secret RV thing. And what was it, London? God, I don't even remember where they went. It was somewhere in Europe, Paris, somewhere. But anyway, so they do all that. Of course, they decide to take the RV for a joyride, and then all of a sudden they've got, you know, they've got to protect the RV and then make sure they get back safely. And you know, of course, things kind of work out in the end where they get recognized even more, even though they were basically screwing up. So that really is, in a nutshell, a very wide swath of Stripes. I love this movie. Absolutely love this movie. I would I would rewatch it many times. I haven't seen it in a while, but I would definitely, you know, if I was changing channels and it was on, I would stop and see what part it was at and probably watch for a while. I don't know if I've been searching on demand and seen it lately, but, you know, if I had free time and nothing else to watch, I'm going to watch it again. So definitely a lot of fun. I don't know what else I've got to say about Stripes other than saying that, yes, it is most definitely an essential 1980s movie. I would put it higher up on my list than where we were, which is what did I say it was? 95? Yeah, I would think that you would definitely have this one crack in the top 50. So, with all that being said, I just want to remind everybody we have a website out there. That's BanzaiRetroClub.com, B-A-N-Z-A-I, RetroClub.com. You can go there. You can follow us on our social media endeavors, that being Twitter, Tumblr, Facebook, Instagram. So interact with us. We appreciate it. You want to shoot us an email, that's McFly@BanzaiRetroClub.com. If you are you have one of those nice iPhones and you want to give us a rating review and a subscription or a follow on the iTunes, on the iPod or podcast app. God, I can't even talk. On the podcast app, we'd appreciate it. For all of our many followers on Podbean, we do appreciate you people so much and continue to follow and interact with us on that. With all that being said, I just want to thank everybody once again as we're wrapping up 2019, and we will continue doing this through the foreseeable future. So we love you all. Have a excellent, or be excellent to each other, and have a good whatever. Bye-bye.
This has been a Banzai Retro Club production.
Banzai, Daniel-san!
Hey, Banzai!
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 On the next episode, we're going to be talking about 1989's Mystery Train.
There she was, just walking down the street singing. She looked good. She looked fine. She looked good. She looked fine. And I nearly lost my mind. Before I knew it, she was walking next to me singing. Holding my hand just as natural as can be singing. We walked on. To my door.
My door.
We walked onto my door. Then we kissed a little more. Oh, I knew we was falling in love. Yes, I did, and so I told her all the things I'd been dreaming of. Now we're together nearly every single day singing. That's how we're gonna stay singing. Well, I'm hurt.
I'm hurt.
She's mine.
She's mine.
I'm hurt.
She's mine.
Wedding bells are gonna chime. Whoa, I knew we was falling in love. Yes, I did, and so I told her all the things I'd been dreaming of. Now we're together nearly every single day singing. Oh, we're so happy, and that's how we're gonna stay singing.
I mean,
well, I'm hers.
I'm hers.
She's mine.
She's mine.
I'm hers.
She's mine.
Wedding bells are gonna chime. Whoa.